Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. The saying goes, nature abhors a vacuum, and the 4th Congressional District race has certainly proved this. As soon as we heard that Barney Frank was hanging up his congressional duds after his years on the political stage, a slew of candidates from both the right and left tossed their hats into the ring. Joining me for an update on who's running and how this race is going is WGBH's Adam Riley. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Callie. How's it going?
Fine. So you were one of the participants in a forum at the Martin Institute at Stonehill College
earlier
this week, which featured everybody, the Democrats and the Republicans. Democrats had their own forum and then a break, and then the Republicans or vice versa. So the folks really had a chance to see all of the candidates in the race.
Yeah, they did. They did. There was one candidate who is running, I think, as an independent write-in, I believe, who made his presence felt with some sign holders, but I don't think he's one of the top contenders. So other than him, other than that one exception, people got to see Joe Kennedy, Herb Robinson, and Rachel Brown on the Democratic side. And on the Republican side, Sean Bilat, who ran against Barney Frank last time around, Elizabeth Childs, who was Mitt Romney's commissioner of mental health, and a guy named David Steinhoff, who is a dentist from Fall River.
All right, so this is the seat that has been held by Barney Frank, it seems like, forever.
About 3 decades.
Yes. Yeah. And he retired. And one of the reasons he gave was that his district was redrawn. And he said, you know, I've just been around too long. I just cannot get myself ready to find and really work with all the new constituents that I would have to work with in this redistricted map. So just so we are all on the same page, the new district runs from Brookline and Newton to Raynham in the west and Bellingham in the east, I guess, and includes parts of Fall River. So that's an extended district than he'd had before.
Right. It's I think you could make a case that it's somewhat more conservative, marginally more conservative. But the fact is, you know, since he occupied that seat for 3 decades, I think that in Massachusetts, any Republican running has an uphill climb. And I think it's probably all the more so in a district which, you know, while it is slightly changed, you know, Frank is a liberal icon, and this district embraced him time and time again. So even though it's a little bit different now, I think Joe Kennedy, between his family name and the fact that he's a liberal Democrat, somewhat in the mold of Frank, I think he's the overwhelming favorite.
Well, even with that, he's the grandson. Joe P. Kennedy III is the grandson of the late Senator Robert Kennedy. Sean Bilat gave Barney Frank a run for his money the last go-round.
He gave him a run for his money, although it turned out to not be quite as close as I think a lot of people were predicting that it would. I mean, Bilat did a very good job. He was on Greater Boston, where I work, for a debate with Frank, and did a really good job sort of going toe-to-toe with Frank. As you know, Frank is a somewhat bombastic guy. You tend to like his bombast if you're a liberal and loathe it if you're a conservative. But he's very, very forceful, not an easy guy to debate. And Bilat acquitted himself pretty well. But the final margin, you know, it wasn't whisker thin. As I recall, it was maybe 11, 12 points or something like that. Bilat had put out a poll during that race which suggested that it was closer, you know, that he had an actual shot at beating Frank. And that turned out to be something of an overstatement.
All right. So as we've said, each group of candidates gave forth on their positions. So let's talk about how, in general, the Democrats, what they said they believed in and supported, and what the Republicans said. So the Democrats said their focus was on the economy.
Yes, there was a lot of talk of the economy. But when we talk about the Democrats, we kind of need to differentiate between Joe Kennedy III and Herb Robinson, who's this sort of affable everyman type who most people don't think he has a snowball's chance to win this thing. But he actually ran for Senate and then dropped out after Elizabeth Warren became the sort of anointed nominee in waiting. So he's running on the Democratic side along with Joe Kennedy and along with this woman, Rachel Brown, who is a Lyndon LaRouche Democrat. Mm-hmm. And as many of our listeners will know, Lyndon LaRouche's ideas are not like the ideas of a lot of other Democrats. For example, the LaRouche contingent was out front of the Martin Institute, holding signs that showed Barack Obama with a Hitler mustache. Okay. Rachel Brown is the woman who infamously went toe-to-toe with Barney Frank a couple years back when there were the town hall meetings around the Affordable Care Act. She's the one who who went toe-to-toe with him, comparing Barack Obama to Hitler, and then he said, trying to have a conversation with you, ma'am, is like trying to have a conversation with a dining room table or something like that.
Rachel Brown.
So she, is that Rachel
okay.
Brown. So she, you know, she has some mainstream ideas, like, for example, she's a big fan of Glass-Steagall for financial reform. But she also has other weird ideas, like Barack Obama's healthcare plan having Nazi elements. And she's very into space exploration as a tool of moral uplift for the nation. She thinks that this Mars landing is going to sort of augur in this bright new day where we all feel good about ourselves as Americans because we're checking out Mars. So she has a bunch of very strange ideas. She's on the ballot, which I think is why they decided to include her. But she's a Democrat, but she's not really a Democrat. Herb Robinson and Joe Kennedy, who are, you know, genuine issue,
more
traditional
in the traditional
Democrats.
Mode of Democrats.
Yeah, they both backed the Affordable Care Act. Mm. I tried to get them to talk about whether, especially Joe Kennedy III, I was interested in hearing what he thought of this because his great uncle, Ted Kennedy, was such a champion of healthcare, and I think may have been one big reason that the president tackled it first thing. I asked them at one point if President Obama made a mistake in retrospect by going all in on healthcare at a time when the economy was in, you know, this huge shambles and we still haven't really recovered economically. Herb Robinson was willing to say, you know, in retrospect, that may have been a mistake, but hindsight's always 20/20. Whereas Joe Kennedy III just said, you know, President Obama inherited a different situation than he'd expected. It may have taken longer to get healthcare done than he thought it would, but we got it done, and I'm really proud that we did. I'm trying to think of other points of go ahead.
I just wanted to remind people that you are Adam Riley. You are a political reporter for Greater Boston, and we are talking about the forum earlier this week at the Martin Institute for Stonehill College, where you were a panelist questioning both the Democratic candidates for the 4th Congressional District and the Republican candidates for the 4th Congressional District in the same night in a room that was packed by all accounts.
Yeah, it was very crowded.
Is Joseph Kennedy III, you know, he's a celebrity candidate on the Democratic side, and some say in the whole race. Is he an impressive candidate?
I don't know if I would call him impressive. I would say he's a likable candidate. Like a lot of people, I didn't really know what to expect when he got in the race, but I sort of was ready, given his family history and his pedigree. I was ready for someone who might carry themselves with somewhat of an air of entitlement, which is sort of, you know, when people think of the good and the bad of the Kennedy family, I think, you know, a lot of people on the bad side would think of sort of an attitude like they're entitled to whatever they want. And I haven't really seen that manifested from Joe Kennedy III. He comes across as a very humble guy, almost a little bit shy. Hmm. There was one interesting experience. This, I think, might get at what I'm talking about. I was with a camera woman from Greater Boston, and we were catching him in a nursing home in the southern part of the state a little while ago. There were two cameras going, ours and another camera, and our camera woman had a little technical malfunction. And on his own, Kennedy, he was giving an interview. He noticed that she was having a technical problem, and he said to the other camera, actually, let's stop and wait a minute for her to fix this. And the camera woman after the fact said, that's the first time any politician has ever done that when they noticed me struggling. So he seems like, I bring that up just because he manages to come across as a sort of considerate, thoughtful, but again, somewhat quiet, maybe a little shy individual. He expresses himself well, I think. He sounds thoughtful when he gives answers to questions. He's a very handsome guy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't sort of swagger with his appearance, but I think, you know, you see some voters responding to his physical appearance in a very positive way.
All right. Well, by all accounts, this is a very congenial gathering of both sets of candidates. The one point that you mentioned is that there seemed to be some agreement among the Democrats or on the Democratic side for support of a campaign reform law known as or finance reform law known as Glass-Steagall, wanting to get back to that. And some have articulated after the forum at the Martin Institute at Stonehill College that the one perhaps mistake that Joe Kennedy made was talking about money having too much influence in the campaign. Who is the top earner in the race, $1.3 million just in the last quarter. Did you see that as an error?
Well, I remember picking up on that during the forum. It seemed a little odd when we were talking about it. I think that the question, it wasn't from me, it was from another panelist, was how would you feel about a constitutional amendment to overturn the Citizens United ruling from the Supreme Court, which basically paved the way for unlimited amounts of undisclosed money from third parties and political campaigns. And Kennedy, in his answer, you know, he indicated that he was sympathetic to the case for campaign finance reform and made some sort of a reference to how it's problematic when you have all sorts of wealthy donors from out of state influencing elections. He used that phrase, out of state. And of course, like you say, he's kind of exhibit A.
He's got a lot of out of state donors.
He's got a lot of out of state donors, and that's what happens when your name is Kennedy and when you went to Stanford and when you're the next generation of this storied political family. So I remember bringing that up and saying, you know, haven't you been the beneficiary of the very sort of thing you're describing? And to be honest, I can't remember exactly how he answered, but I couldn't pin him down. He sort of gracefully elided my attempt to point out a little hypocrisy on his part and redirected and said, you know, now that we're talking about it, I think his elision was something along the lines of the most important thing, you know, is that money is always going to be in the political process. It's going to distort the political process. But what we need is maximum transparency so you know where the money is coming from, which is a defensible point of view.
I have to say that for those who are expressing that and speaking about his naivete, that seems to be a very sophisticated answer for someone who's running his first political campaign. Let's turn to the Republican candidates and their forum again in the same night at the forum at the Martin Institute at Stonehill College, where my guest Adam Riley was one of the panelists questioning both groups of candidates. So the Republicans actually gave Barney Frank a compliment.
They did.
Tell us about that.
They did. I believe I asked them if they had anything positive to say about Frank, given that he'd represented the district for, you know, three decades and was often reelected by a wide margin. And they all praised his constituent service. They said that, you know, even if they radically disagreed with his political ideology, that time and again they have talked to voters who would say things like, you know, I can't stand Frank's politics, but when I needed to get my mom into a different nursing home, I called his office and he helped me out right away. And it actually, they got the praise was so fulsome and so uniform that at one point, I think it was Sean Bilat said, okay, actually, let's not get too carried away praising Barney Frank, because it became briefly this, you know, a bit of a little love fest, which you wouldn't have expected. So yeah, apparently they're all fans of his knack for constituent service and would try to apparently emulate that if elected.
All right. So in general, they seem to agree on defense spending. They have a different take, we would not be surprised, on controlling health care costs and the Affordable Care Act. And I note that Sean Bilat, on his side of the ledger, one would say he's the star because of, you know, his last run against Barney Frank, that he said federal funds should be spent on infrastructure with regard to creating jobs, but the private industry should be the real job creators.
Yeah, he made a big point. One of the other panelists asked what the federal government should be doing in terms of targeted spending in the fourth to, you know, add jobs. And his response was very candid. He said, I don't think it's the federal government's job to create jobs. I think that they, you know, clear the way for job creation by doing things like minimizing regulations or cutting taxes, and then they let job creators go to work. He's very candid about his conservative views. He also said at one point that he didn't say that he doesn't think the Department of Education is constitutional, but he said that constitutionally there is very, very little role for a federal Department of Education. I mean, he's a hardcore conservative. He's also conservative, and this didn't come up during the debate, which surprised me. He's conservative on social issues as well as fiscal issues, and I had expected Elizabeth Childs, who I think
one of the other Republican
one of the other Republicans Republican candidates, a long shot to beat Bilat, but she is a former state commissioner of mental health, has endorsements from people like Bill Weld, the former governor, Carrie Healey, the former lieutenant governor, Jennifer Nassour, the former chair of the Mass GOP. So she's a long shot to win, but she's also credible. And I had thought that she would go after Bilat aggressively at this debate because she's running out of time. If she wants to beat him, I expected her to kind of go nuclear. And especially, she has cast herself as sort of a moderate, old school Massachusetts Republican and said, you can only get elected as a Republican in this district if you're fiscally conservative and socially moderate. I had thought she would hit Bielat with that really hard and say, you're too conservative on issues like, you know, gay marriage or abortion to get elected. But oddly, those words didn't pass her lips once. She just seemed to agree with him on pretty much everything.
Well, and in fact, both sets of candidates on both sides of the aisle didn't really spend much time on social issues, which is kind of interesting.
No, they didn't. You're right.
So,
although the question of gay marriage did come up in the Democratic debate. And Herb Robinson, who in the piece that I did for Greater Boston, I compared Herb Robinson to Yogi Berra and said he's become sort of the Yogi Berra of Massachusetts politics because he gives these little sort of aphoristic answers that seem simultaneously very naive and very wise. And he was asked where he stands on gay marriage, and he said something like, you know, I think gay marriage should be legal. I have gay friends, and I want them to keep being my friends.
Okay.
And then he sort of pauses, and everyone lets it sink in, and then everyone laughs.
All right. Very good.
About that.
And finally, the whole thing was characterized as being quite congenial and in an atmosphere on the national scene where it's turning nastier and nastier. Do you expect that the way that the candidates are interacting with each other will, you know, stay at a high level, let's say?
I don't expect it to. Well, I expect it to be much sharper after the primary. I mean, I expect it to be Sean Bielat running against Joe Kennedy. And I think Sean Bielat thinks this is a seat that he could really win. And I think he's going to go after Kennedy very, very, very hard. I would expect Kennedy to, you know, he'll be in some situations, you know, debates, for example, where he'll have to respond to Bielat. But I expect him to try to take the high road, because when your name is Joe Kennedy III and you're raking in the cash, as you mentioned, you don't want to tarnish yourself by pushing back and going negative on your opponent. So I expect Bielat to go negative, Kennedy to try to stay above it. And if I were betting, you know, which I will not be, I would bet a lot of money on Joe Kennedy to win ultimately.
All right. Well, in any case, it's going to get a lot more interesting. So thank you very much for bringing us up to date thus far.
Thank you, Kelly.
We've been talking about the 4th Congressional District race, the race to fill Congressman Barney Frank's seat, and I've been speaking with WGBH's Adam Riley of Greater Boston. Adam, good talking to you.
Same here. Bye.
Better believe that it's a time for walking, no time for talking. Grab the walking shoes.
What's the best way to get to the White House? One sure path is walking. We'll talk to a local whose dedication to improving walking conditions in the Bay State has earned him White House honors. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.
Out goes the meanness. Get your walking shoes and let them deposit you in skies free of trouble and care. Hey, look around, see the sun everywhere just fly. When you feel like you're starting to cry, just get out and get under that sky all blue.